You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is Santos Bonacci. Santos is an astrotheologist who deals with the subject of reclaiming dominion. His teachings break the fictions of law, religion, and science. The holy science, the ancient science based on the workings of the solar system, which is the science of as above, so below, enables one to develop wisdom and enlightenment far beyond what this world offers. This ancient and fascinating wisdom he's disseminating will have a profound spiritual effect on your life and enables you to remember that which you already know. Santos's studies span over 30 years and bust wide open the world of corruption that surrounds us, the very world in which most of us live out each day of our lives unaware. Santos currently lectures in Australia and on global radio on astrotheology and sovereignty law. He offers a perspective which brings some of our beliefs back into context by joining some of the dots that have otherwise made this information highly subjective, controversial, and used as a major historical source of humanity's exploitation. His website can be found at www.universaltruthschool.com and www.santos.net.au. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Santos. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Good, good. I was listening to your videos last night, and I love every word of it. You are just breaking the shell of the egg wide open, and I just have to congratulate you and thank you for having such courage and for knowing so much.
Oh, thanks, Lance. Appreciate it very much.
Yes. Now, I have some people who, a lot of people that I know ask me some pretty interesting questions. And one of the questions I thought I might start with is actually a good place to segue into, and that is to talk about where we are at right now. Here we are in 2012. She mentions that the December solstice is the death of the sun, January is the beginning of resurrection, and March is the rebirth and blossoming. And so the theory is that March 2012 should put our solar system coming up from the underside of the galactic plane into what represents the golden age. So that's the first question that I'm going to fire at you and see what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, well, I have a video called Know Thyself Part 2. Mm-hmm. On YouTube. Now, I think that's the most informative video presentation on this particular subject. Mm-hmm. What I do there is I show the constellations between Scorpio and Sagittarius in the sky, right? So I draw this on the whiteboard. Now, I put the Milky Way galaxy horizontally through the whiteboard, okay? Mm-hmm. So you see the Milky Way galaxy going across horizontally on the whiteboard. Above it is Scorpio. Below it is Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius's arrow is pointing to the tail of Scorpio. And Scorpio's tail is pointing also in the direction of Sagittarius's arrow. Now, this is an amazing feature of the sky. When you learn to spot Scorpio and Sagittarius in about, they should rise in about 3 or 4 months, you'll see them. They are invisible at the moment, of course, because our sun is passing through those signs, isn't it? You know, it's been through Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, and now it's in Aquarius, so you don't get to see it. But Ophiuchus, the 13th sign of the zodiac, is there standing with 1 foot on top of the scorpion, and with another foot, it's standing, a fucus is standing where the Milky Way galaxy and the ecliptic cross.
Wow.
Now, the ecliptic goes through all the signs of the zodiac. So that's what the ecliptic is. Now, where the ecliptic crosses the Milky Way galaxy, there are two places in the sky, and one is right there. I'll explain the other one later, where in the middle of Taurus and Gemini, 180 degrees opposite this particular crossing. There are two of them, and they are called the Divine Cross, you see. So the Divine Cross is up in the skies. The Mundane Cross, that happens when we come to a solstice or an equinox. So that would be either December 21st, March 21st, June 21st, or September 21st. And those dates there make a perfect cross on the Earth, you see. Now, what's going to happen on the 21st of December 2012 is the Divine Cross and the Mundane Cross are going to lock in at a very, very special point, which only happens every 24,000 years. In other words, only once will it happen in this particular crossing where a fucus is standing. It'll only happen, once in the precessional cycle. Now, the precessional cycle, the precession of the equinoxes, that is the scientific term for it. Other people call it the great year or the Platonic year. It runs between 24,000 and 25,920 years. I like to use the 24,000-year version because it's when corrected, it actually is 24,000 years long. And what will happen, according to the Mayas, is we should have 72 days of darkness. After which, the sun will be reborn as a new star. And what that means is, you see, according to the Mayans, we've had four suns, one of Earth, one that represents and harmonizes with the element of Earth, one with water, one with air, one with fire. The fifth one will be ether. And so I agree with your comments there that that will be the kickoff time, and then, of course, we'll have some, you know, probably some action up until March the 21st, the equinox, and then away we go. We will have a totally new way of being, a totally new way of seeing things. We should have, according to the Egyptians, 360 senses reactivated, which are dormant at present. So we're going to light up like a Christmas tree, you see.
Well, it's about time. We've been so dumbed down by the controlling elite and, you know, the various organized crime families, the religions and the corporations and the politicians and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the royals, and then those behind them that, you know, it seems like humanity has hardly had a chance to be free ever.
No, they don't give us a chance. You see, their modus operandi is keep them in debt, keep them sick.
Well, then, they know about all of this stuff through the infiltration of the secret societies. What's to stop them from doing a scorched earth policy or from trying to screw it all up for us? I mean, could that happen?
Well, it could, and this is how it could happen. See, there's a lot that needs to be understood here. Most people cannot grasp what is really at stake and what is really, really happening on the higher levels, as above, so below. They only are concerned with things like eating, working, you know, copulating, going to the football, and so forth. So, you know, for anyone who's listening that is not awakened, it's going to be hard to swallow what I'm about to say. But firstly, some of these elites are changing sides right now as we speak. Because they also have extended this amnesty and mercy from the heavens to be able to change sides because they know that they've been doing very, very dishonorable things. But the other thing is, of course, there will be a portion that will not repent, and there will be a portion that will, you know, rule or ruin. And so they might try to unleash some sort of a, you know, I don't know, plague or something. They've got their secret weapons. They know what they have.
Right.
And that all depends on whether the universe will allow them to, because believe you me, Lance, some people, you know, they need the scare of FEMA concentration camps. They need the scare of a third world war. Yeah. You know, I mean, it sounds brutal and harsh and inconsiderate, but this is the way things are.
Yeah.
We actually do need wake-up calls. I mean, yeah. We've had them. When did you have your wake-up call? I had mine. I mean, why is it that some people are still sleeping? How thick are they?
That you make a good point. Is all of that happening outside of the space-time continuum that we live in? I mean, at the soul level? Or is it just that people have gotten so trampled down and dumbed down with fluoride and aspartame and the rest of it that they simply can't snap out of the brainwashing that they've been subject to all their lives? Or maybe it's in part a little of this and a little of that, and some denial and resistance too.
Yeah, it's a mixture of a few things. Let's keep it basic. One of the things is what you just mentioned, of course. The aspartame and the fluoride and the chemtrails, that's all there for people who are about to wake up to snuff them out, right? Uh-huh. And to make it harder for them. But a greater portion of mankind are simply not able to grasp anything because, as the hermetic science puts it, they are unconscious human animals. They are not conscious human beings. There's a separation there. And yet, for all the intelligence that they display, I mean, you know, some of them make great sportsmen. Some of them are on TV. They've got Hollywood careers. Some of them are politicians. You know, some of them are pressing buttons in factories. They are quite intelligent, but they are human animals nonetheless. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, I can't possibly be that wise to judge all of mankind, but Hermes, or the hermetic wisdom, has put it in those particular terms that there are two kinds of human beings, you see, and the ones that have awoken, well, good. Their destiny will be a certain place, and as for the ones that haven't, well, they have another destiny, and which probably means that they will need to reincarnate on another planet, on another plane, to work out their lessons, round out their evolution, and eventually reach the rest of mankind that has gone forward before them, just as there are ones that have gone forward before us.
Right. And then those who have gone before us, as I understand it, quite a few have come back and incarnated to assist at this time due to the momentous nature of this shift that we're headed into now.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you and I are amongst those, that number, obviously, because we are here in the world, on the worldly plane, and yet none of the worldly entanglements are able to seduce us. Now, why is that? Well, because we are focused and we have intent and we know who we are and we know that we are separated from the rest of the world because we are looking to something else, something that inside of us tells us there is more for us. There is a better place, you see, and we sense that. And not only do we sense it, many of us know it, you see, by direct knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree with you. You know, and it isn't a pleasant thing that we have to look at people who appear to be alive and normal, like us, as being different or deficient at the soul level or the spiritual level, but I think you're absolutely right. That is the fact of it. you know, and not everybody is alike, and not everybody is interested in, you know, some kind of evolution. Maybe some are here for a vacation, and they'll just continue on their merry way, learning about the lower aspects of life as they develop a soul body. So I like the way you put that. That's very good.
Yeah, yeah. It's very difficult to be able to look around and scan all of humanity and be able to say for certainty who will and who won't wake up. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously when you go walking down the shopping mall, you can see that people are really, really, really sleeping like zombies. So,
oh, my gosh, yes. No kidding. That's one of the reasons why I rarely leave the house anymore. I mean, it's such a culture shock to walk into a Walmart and just feel the, well, there's no energy to feel. It's like there's nobody home.
No, yeah.
So it's really, it's depressing in a way. You just have to kind of, you know, there's an occasional light that comes on with somebody and they have a little bit of heart energy and then it fades, so. Yeah. What about, now, one of the things, there's a couple things that I'm wondering about, and it will tie into another question I have. One thing is that the Vatican is one of the most potent controllers or dominating forces in the world now, is it not? And if so, doesn't it have to lose its power and control over the rest of us in order for people to be freed up and start seeing the truth? I mean, all of the religions are engaged in horrific acts, if not satanic, the movement of huge sums of money, trillions of dollars, and buying off countries and the rest of it. What do you see happening on those levels?
Enlightened mankind will turn on this beast, who sits on many waters. And this beast that sits on many waters is defined as Babylon the Great, the system of enslavement of the world. Because, you see, the elites of Rome, they copied other empires because they are of the same family, you see. It's always the same one family.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they picked a bit from Babylon, they picked a bit from Egypt, a bit of Grecian and Medo-Persian and Assyrian slavery. And they polished it up, and they've really, really done a job on us. They have the best slave system in the universe, and it's based on the biggest lie, which is the Jesus historical lie.
Yeah.
It's the best third-party debt-collecting scheme in history. Now, how do we know that the Vatican sits on the top? You see, because sometimes I get people who say, oh, no way, it's Queen Elizabeth and the Windsor family. They own the whole world. The crown, you know, it's the crown. Oh, no, it's the Commonwealth and the Bilderbergers. Oh, no, it's the Jesuits and everything. Look, it's quite easy. It's quite easy when you know and you do your studies, you see. The crown and the Commonwealth are Roman Vatican inventions from the 14 and 1500s. And I can point you to the Sestwicke V trusts and the papal bulls to prove that, but I won't go into that now.
Right.
You just have to keep in mind, I do go into it in my videos, so if anyone wants to further their knowledge on the Crown and the Vatican, they can see there that the Crown and the Commonwealth, these belong to Rome. Rome owns the Crown and the Commonwealth, but Rome owns something that trumps both of those, and that's called the Holy See.
Huh.
That's the waters, the Holy See that Rome administers. Yeah, that's the maritime law.
Lore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you see, they've taken you and I, they've taken us off the land, and they've put us on their ships, their pirate ships. When we go to court, we go to see the captain of the ship, and we're in maritime jurisdiction. That's the Holy See, and that trumps the crown land. That trumps everything. They rule this world, and there's no doubt about that. And anyone who can't see that is a fool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, what forces, a couple of questions have come up. One is, what major secrets do you suspect are being concealed by the Vatican? We know that there's just a titanic amount of things that they've been up to and that they're hiding. And do we have any idea of the scope of their illegal and destructive activities?
We have a fair idea, but still, there's not. We still don't have, a full idea. There's obviously a lot of bloodletting going on inside the Vatican and under the Vatican in the catacombs and all of their little secret chambers. Just as the elites have in their mansions, they have their dungeons under their castles and they have their special blood sacrifices that they will have on the equinoxes and solstices and cross-quarter days and holy days, etc. I've exposed all this in my videos. I've shown, all the dates where they do things, on cue. For instance, they crash the stock market on October the 19th or October the 25th. The three greatest stock market crashes happened between those five dates in history because of the sign of Scorpio, etc. Yeah, because Scorpio is opposite the bull, right? Taurus. Yeah. And the bull market is a good market, but the bear market, you see, just above Scorpio is the bear, Arcturus, Pooties.
Huh.
Yeah, so the bear market is on the waning side of the sun, the bull market is on the waxing side of the sun, you see?
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, they know all this science, and they do everything on cue. So you can rest assured that there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. I've exposed quite a bit of it, and I think that my information is probably the most dangerous information to them yet. And I've gone under the radar so far because I think they're too stupid to realize how dangerous my material is and how dangerous my message is to them. But I can assure you of one thing. That what I'm revealing about the holy science and the science of as above, so below, man is the measure of the universe, etc., this is what they're hiding. This is the most powerful, the most empowering information that you will ever find in the universe. There's no more powerful information anywhere. This is the knowledge that begins you on the path of knowing and the self-discovery of one's own divinity. Mm-hmm. Now, how they've prevented us from knowing this is by their teachings, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They teach us in church that we are sinners, etc., good for nothing, we need a redeemer, third-party redeemer somehow.
Uh-huh.
He came along 2,000 years ago, just in time to sort of administer Roman Empire agenda. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't come sort of 4,000 years ago. He came 2,000 years ago, right when Caesar Augustus, right on cue with the first God-man-emperor worship in history in Rome.
Huh.
I wonder whether we're talking about the same person. Yes, we are. Caesar Augustus is none other than Jesus Christ. In fact, his uncle and adoptive father, Julius Caesar, has the same initials, JC.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what Julius Caesar means?
I don't know.
It means Jesus Christ. That's
well,
what it means.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah,
well, then the whole mythology about Christ, which is there are so many parallels that Joseph Campbell has pointed out in his mythological studies, that these same archetypes keep returning every few thousand years. The Hindu versions, the Egyptian versions, the twins, the jealous brother, the whole thing. And you go into a great deal of detail about the idea that these are actually talking about the stars and that this has been woven by humans to control other humans.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a masterstroke on the part of the elites because, you see, there's no way that the elites can go around and run other people's countries if they have their religions, if they have their science and their and their gods, so to speak. You know, if the indigenous people of America were left alone to continue knowing their gods and knowing the Popol Vuh and all of their codexes and knowing their system of worship, they would never have been subjected. So the Dominicans and the Franciscans came by the hordes in those boats from Europe, and the first thing they did was they put sword in the right hand and Bible in the left, and they went a decapitating, and they did not let anyone in peace. They did not leave anyone alone to be able to practice their indigenous. So that's what you do if you deprive people of their symbols of empowerment. You will deprive them of their power, and you can conquer them easily. So the elites have a great formula. They go around co-opting all of this science, this solar science. They anthropomorphize it, tell you that it was basically just a bunch of humans and a bunch of characters on Earth that enacted these stories, and they give them historical names, etc. And of course, the average uneducated person can't tell the difference, and when an authority tells you what's for, you tend to bend to their whims and what they're teaching, and away you go. We have generations of blind people that have gone after this lie, and they will kill you for it if you dare to suggest that Jesus was not historical, because they have been brainwashed and educated to believe that he was.
I know. It's a sad state of affairs, to be sure. And related into the religion card that we're talking about, one of the questions that came to me is one of my friends was asking how you view the devolution of the big three Abrahamic religions unfolding, and what's your take on the Muslim Brotherhood's powerful win in Egypt, and how quickly they registered a political party. She's wondering where you think this will go and how will the Coptic Christians fare.
Okay, well, all the stuff that's going on now, it's still going on unconsciously.
Okay.
The good people that are taking to the streets, they're good people, but they're taking things into their hands in their way because they believe that that is the way to get change to happen. And but there is a portion of unconsciousness in these movements. They still don't get it, you know.
Right.
And you've got to you know, your heart goes out to these people because a lot of them are getting killed and everything like that, and they're joining movements like the Islamic Brotherhood Left, the Islamic Brotherhood Right, and all of these different factions of the Islamic and the Christians and everything like that. So, I mean, they are only doing what they know for themselves or what they think is best to do. But as we enter the dragon's breath and as we enter the photon belt, these people will be, they'll be enlightened, and their consciousness is growing, and they will do things differently too. They will learn that the best way to do things is to know thyself, grow in power, and to make the changes from the psychic powers that you've regained by remembering who you are, and first changing oneself, transmuting the lead to gold. And then what happens is the effect is like it's like a domino effect where other people are joined in. You know, it's the 100th monkey syndrome, where other people are drawn into this consciousness. And look, in the end, it will be consciousness that will defeat these creepy, very, very unhealthy, unconscious, creepy institutions. And
yeah. Well, I think that's about the only thing that can out trump them. And I'm not making a pun there on the word Trump. But one thing that I'm wondering about is when we talk about all these different control systems and paradigms, some people theorize that the real controllers are not even involved, are not even in three dimensions. Those at the top of the elite system, that what we see, the top of the Vatican and the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds and the rest of them and the royals, those are the managers. And there's a great deal of speculation that what we're really talking about is forces that are outside of the game itself. And would that relate to your comment about as above, so below? There could be a battle in the heavens as well.
Absolutely. There cannot be an effect here on Earth that is not caused by something in the spiritual realms.
Right.
It's a war. Yeah, it's a war that we have with the spirit world in probably the first place. Secondly, it would be with their foot soldiers here on Earth.
Yeah.
Now, who are these entities? That's the big question. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're reptilians. Oh, they're greys. Oh, they're off-worlders. Oh, they are, the greys from the hollow Earth that, you know, are very
right.
angry that we have inhabited their beautiful planet.
Or archons.
The archons. It's
yeah.
Well, it's all of those
yeah.
and pretty much it's none of those. But what I mean is it is those.
Yeah.
But the source of where these entities, all these various different entities that have been described, where they are coming from is basically they are getting their power from the animal chakra of the earth. The earth
yeah.
is a person. It is an entity. It is an archangel. It is our mother. And it is it's a divine light being, and it has seven chakras as we do.
Uh-huh.
One of those chakras is called the dark satellite. Now, what that means is the dark satellite contains the animal souls that have not evolved to yet be able to enjoy human consciousness. But in the last couple of thousand years, this satellite has provided many animal souls that have incarnated as human.
Oh.
But that satellite was at perihelion for 2,000 years. In 1881, the satellite receded. So, you know, everything that goes to perihelion must go to apohelion. So, and all the ancient philosophers warned us. They said, through the golden and silver ages, the dark satellite will not be felt. But in the bronze and in the iron ages, the dark satellite will be very, very pronounced. And many will suffer. And it will cause a lot of suffering on the earth. Because these animals...
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very intelligent and very, very vicious. Others are very, very kind,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
they're not so evil. But the ones that are incarnating, you know, like your George Bushes and these creeps, Tony Blair and all of these psychopathic...
The Nazi element.
yeah. Rest assured that they are very, very unconscious. They belong to the dark satellite. And when that recedes, after 2012, the dark satellite is going bye-byes. And so are the... Yeah.
Wonderful. That is the
yeah.
best news I've heard in a long time.
And
then there's a great deal of speculation that the moon has been co-opted and is being used by some elements that have high technology that are... using artificial intelligence to beam all kinds of confusing signals onto the Earth. And I've often wondered if the moons themselves are not some kind of device, a control device. And then, of course, you've got Saturn and time and the Saturnine cults of death. And it just gets so confusing when you start thinking, well, okay, which one is which? Do you have
yeah,
any idea about the moon? And it just doesn't seem real.
Yeah, well, see, the moon and Saturn are always players in this evil story, you know, the story of evil. They are always sort of at the... And Mars. Mars is another malefic.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturn is the greater malefic in astrology. In other words, he's just absolutely... he causes a lot of the illnesses on Earth. In fact, combined with Mars, they produce 90% of the illnesses, you see, on the Earth.
Wow.
Because the signature vibration, you see, all the planets are reflectors of the sun's light. That's all they are. And some of the planets reflect a beautiful vibration back to us. The refraction is sane and whole for humanity. Whereas Saturn's portion of his signature vibration is very disturbing. And it's very destructive. Mm-hmm. You see, in nature, there are always forces that quicken matter, and there are always forces that destroy matter. You see, the sun, for instance, the sun is famous as the great benefic and the vital, the primary vital source of all life in the solar system. Now, what happens in summer when the sun is in his glory? Well, photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Photosynthesis is the little understood process whereby plants grow because of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So the photons reach the plants, and all of a sudden the plants, the beautiful leafy green leaves, they just grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the winter, which is the domain of Saturn, well, those leaves dry up, die, fall to the ground, and wait for the sun to return in March.
Yeah, right.
So you can see what Saturn does. Saturn is the opposite of the sun because he's the coldest of the visible planets, and he destroys. Now, that doesn't, you know, necessarily make him totally bad. The poor guy, he's just doing his job, you know.
Right.
Damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. You know, he's got to do his job.
Right.
There must be, in duality existence, there must be the two forces opposing each other and working with each other, you see?
Yeah. Well, then what's puzzling is if there are two forces and we see duality taking over all over the place, it seems odd to me that the negative forces, or the evil, if you will—I don't like that word evil, but because it's subjective morality—but the forces of corruption and destruction and unconsciousness and lack of conscience seem to be pretty much ruling this planet, the entire planet, and perhaps the entire solar system. I don't know. It could go that far or beyond.
Yeah. I mean, if all of the culprits that are following the evil forces were put in jail, we would have relative peace on the Earth. There's no doubt about it. The only reason why there's imbalance, you see, is because we've neglected to keep the balance. We were supposed to come to this planet to do work, not to get jobs. 9-to-5ers.
Right.
Humans are designed to work, and to work for, you know, to make the Earth a paradise, to make it inhabitable, to make it a beautiful place to live. You know, we're supposed to have strong communities, strong families, strong love, strong... This is work. But the Vatican and Rome, the kingdom of ideas that it is, has produced the concept of jobs.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Go and get a job so you can climb the corporate ladder and beat them their Joneses, because they've got two SUVs in the driveway and you've only got the one, and yours is 3 years old. They have the new model.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what jobs are for. They are to distract us from the good work.
Right. Well, I think so many people are seeing that more clearly now, especially with the Wall Street, thefts going on, and the theft from the banks. The bailouts are nothing more than theft by the banking elite. But what is going to happen to the financial system that can balance us back out in a way that we're not attached to debt, living under debt, and are not controlled by those who are issuing it?
Well, you see, JFK tried to do this. He tried to bring back the, debt-free note, He tried to get the Treasury to print money rather than the Federal Reserve, which is privately owned. It's quite easy. If we need to, it's so simple to fix the finance.
Okay, are you there? I seem
Goodbye.
To have lost. There you go. Okay.
Ah, yeah. So it's quite easy. I mean, just remove the banking element from the world. Tell them that you've had a nice time. You've been riding the gravy train. You're out. You've been playing by the wrong rules. You're out. And just start printing Treasury notes and cancel everybody's debt because we don't have any debt.
Right.
How can we that are sovereigns, already free from the moment we're born? How can we accrue any kind of debt? It's impossible.
Right.
The universe is all free. We are all rich. We are all multi-trillion gazillionaires.
Right.
We have inherited a life of riches beyond our imagination. It's intoxicating to think how rich we are. And yet we come to this planet and we've got a bunch of banksters called the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers who sit back and go, we want to harvest all your energy and we want to keep you in debt and we're going to smoke cigars, drink champagne, eat caviar while you suffer and work for us.
I mean,
it's
right.
Preposterous. Just
right.
Get rid
and then
of
when there are too many of you, we'll just kill you off.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we can turn the tables on them and we can give the banksters one of three options, electric chair, gallows, or guillotine. Take
oh, I like
pick
that.
Fools. Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a little soft-hearted. But...
Yeah, good old fashioned lynching. Just, I mean it, look, it's easy. Just bring the gallows pole down into St. Peter's Square, and just say, hey, Mr. Popey Poos, you've been killing billions of people for 2,000 years now. You're a pedophile, blasphemous, murderous, child-trafficking imbecile. We've got a little present for you. Now, if you don't like present, we've got two other options, electric chair where we can burn you to a crisp, or we can do the old guillotine style. Which would you like to pick, imbecile?
Well, you know, that's really letting them off soft, considering all the people, the women that they burned at the stake and the heretics that they tortured. And so, yeah, no, I think that's a good idea.
Well, let me tell you something. It's happening right as we speak.
Oh.
There's a bunch of Spanish people that have occupied St. Peter's Square, and you ought to see some of the footage on YouTube, man. These people are saying, down with the Vatican, down with the murderous popes. Why is he not paying taxes? Why this? They've all gone to the Vatican with questions. And you know what? This time, they will not fail. This time
good.
They will prevail. Many times has the Vatican been occupied by freedom thinkers in the past thousands of years. Many times. And you can check out the history. The last time was around, I think it was before Mussolini there. Mm. They wanted to lynch the Pope. I wish they had have.
Yeah. Well, there would have been another one, more even more evil, that would spring up probably. They kill each other.
Oh, yes.
They poison their own when they get out of line, so there's no loyalty amongst the ranks of the evil.
No, there's none. And unfortunately, they're stupid little buffoon foot soldiers, the churchgoers. They have the same mindset. You know, when you go to a Mormon church, they kill all the other Christians, don't they?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Of course they do, with their words. Oh,
yeah.
Brothers... You've come to the right church. This is the only one in which you will be saved. Jehovah's Witnesses are going to die. Pentecostals are going to die. Catholics are going to die. So what are they doing? Well, they're killing.
Yes.
They're all killing.
Yeah. They're
all
churchgoers
murderers. Are killers, murderers, and pedophiles because they love pedophilia and they offer no protection to little children because they deal with pedophilia in-house. They will not let the governments or the authorities or the law check their books and check what's going on inside their churches as regards to pedophilia. Therefore, they will go down, and the sooner the better. Good riddance.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Oh,
and that's not even to mention the satanic rituals and the the things that go on in the dungeons that you talked about of blood sacrifice and literally eating the heart out of, innocent victims and the rest of it. But we don't need to go there to know that these people certainly have the worst intent for the bulk of humanity and are working there feverishly day and night to enact it. So
there's a scripture in the Bible that says there is nothing that is done in secret that will not be revealed in due time. Now is the time of exposure. Now is the time that everything will be revealed. And it's happening. It's on. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Well, we made it this far. I never thought I'd be alive in 2012 at 61 years of age. I thought for sure I would have been 6 feet under by now. But one of the things that you mentioned, you were talking about the pineal gland, and I'm wondering if what your sense of it is that as we will it awaken as a natural organic process over this next year due to the photon belt and the higher energies and frequencies that we are in, and the higher consciousness of the sun, which is beaming down onto us to raise the vibration, as I understand it, or is there something that can be done to activate the pineal gland? I know that fluoride literally calcifies it and creates like a stone in your head when you're x-rayed. So many have suggested using distilled water to flush those chemicals out of the body and to not drink tap water and so on and so forth. But other than that, is the pineal gland part of the process that will unfold and help us to gain our normal 360-degree vision back, as the Egyptians talk about?
Yes, look, it's a bit of both. Nature is taking care of this process for us, but we, the conscious, should be doing conscious things to facilitate this morphogenic upgrade that we're going through. For instance, we can eat better, we can drink better, we can. There's a lot of things that we can do. You know, breathing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much we can do. Now, I would recommend for the listeners to learn how to solar gaze.
Oh, yes. I've been hearing a lot about that lately.
Oh, yeah. If you really want to be energized, if you really want to explode your pineal gland and really want to have very powerful, clairvoyant insights into the true reality and nature of reality, learn how to solar gaze. Now, this is what I will say about solar gazing. You need to wait for the sun to be just about setting, and when the sun is rising in the morning, try not to look at the sun when it's above, say, 10 degrees above the horizon. It must be very low on the horizon, and I would start with 10 seconds.
Okay.
So the first time that you look at the sun, it must be very low on the horizon, because there's no ultraviolet rays when the sun is low.
Okay.
And the light is very, very soft. So what you do, for the first time that you do this, just stare at the sun for 10 seconds. Don't take your eyes off it. 10 seconds. Stop. Walk away.
Okay.
The next time that you see the sun, it might be 3 days, it might be next week, you do it for 20 seconds. Then the next time you see it, 30 seconds. And you add 10 seconds every time.
Okay.
And in 7 months' time, you should be able to have gotten rid of any ailments, arthritis, diabetes, poor eyesight, dementia, anything. You can get rid of it by staring at the sun. Now, in conjunction with that, I would be taking my shoes off and going for a walk on a dirt track.
Yep,
not
yep.
grass, dirt. Dirt or the beach. When you walk on dirt, you are actually recharging your body electrically. Never walk with shoes on.
Okay.
Always when you go for it. You see these people that do that power walking, you know, and they've got their Nike runners on, you know. They are absolutely doing so much toxic damage to their bodies, the imbeciles. They've got no idea. You do a nice, calm, soft walk on the dirt, barefoot. And the other thing is to eat as many herbs as possible.
Okay.
Good herbs, alkaline herbs, not acidic. Because alkaline food is man's diet. Acidic food is not man's diet. That is for, I don't know who, but anyone who's eating, you know, food that has starch or blood in it is just eating acid. And acid is cancerous. It destroys the mucous membrane, and that's where disease enters.
Ah, wonderful. Wow, those are really powerful tools, really powerful. And the funny thing is, I have been hearing about each one of those things about the last 2 or 3 weeks. Solar gazing was one, walking barefoot another. I have an indigenous friend who walks everywhere, even to the grocery store barefoot. And I used to laugh about it until I started seeing articles and YouTube videos on it, and now I'm starting to do it. So those are three things that I will start working on even more intently as a result, because, you know, we can step on the accelerator of our own evolution to some extent. In another way, it's all kind of preordained, but you can step on the accelerator a little bit and make it happen a little quicker, yes?
Yeah. This is why people who, you know, walk on dirt or on the sand, on the beach, you know, when you go down to the beach and you go and you spend a day down there and then you come home and you think, wow, I feel so good. And people think it's because of the, you know, the hot sun and the water, the salt water and everything. It's not. It's the fact that they've been walking barefoot on the sand.
Wow.
That's where the energy comes from.
Wow. Now, does the Earth register us as an entity when we do that?
Oh, look, the Earth is conscious.
Well, of course.
As we are conscious, so is she. As above, so below.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Santos, that seems like a good place to stop. We're actually out of time, and you have a minute or two to let us know any parting thoughts that you think might be important for us to know, and also about your website.
Okay, my website is universaltruthschool.com. universaltruthschool.com. My YouTube handle, which has all my free presentations, is Mr. Astro Theology. Mr. Astro Theology. And look, for anyone who's really, really keen on this information and how to reclaim dominion, in 2 hours' time, I will be broadcasting on my show on American Freedom Radio, and I will have with me a special guest, and we're going to be talking about the one most powerful document which you're able to send to your attorney generals to get out of the system and be free and not be harassed by anyone in Rome's system. So please join me in 2 hours' time.
That's wonderful. Well, Santos, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I just love talking to you, and I do hope that you'll come back and do at least another show or two.
Oh, for sure. Anytime.
Okay, good.
Anytime.
Wonderful.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much. I just can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Lance.
All righty. Well, folks, that's the end of the show for today, and be sure and tune in to Santos in a couple of hours. All right. Good night, everybody.